Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, Hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye hymns, the word reply. Hallelujah. Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sets in blood no more. The stone, the watch, the seal. Hallelujah. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids its rise. Hallelujah. Christ hath opened paradise. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah. Once he died our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where's thy victory boasting grave?
I'm going to move this over here. And Andrea, if I mess you up, I'm sorry. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. I'm very happy to be here this morning. We're here. You can't hear me. You might be happy about that, too. Okay. Let's start again. Welcome. I am happy to be here at Southwest Central Church of Christ this morning. We're here to sing some hymns, to hear the word proclaimed, to pray, to give, and share in the Lord's Supper. We're glad you are all here to do all these things with us. You can let us know, and I have little learning aids, you can let us know that you were here today. That's the blue card that's in the pocket in front of you. There's two sides to this card, some of you might have noticed. There's a member side and a guest side. Find your side, fill it out, and when we pass the collection trays, just drop it in there. If you have news, even if you're a guest, you need to put it on the member side under comments. It'll go to the church, and then the news or need will get shared with anyone who needs it. Okay, then there's some gold cards. Very Easter-looking, aren't they? These are the encouragement cards. All you have to do to make someone's day is put their name on it. The church will address it and put a stamp on it, fill out some good news, some encouraging things, drop it in the collection plate. Now, if you need prayers, you want to describe a little bit about the need or the rejoice that you have, you can use one of these heart response folders, brochures. You have some choices with them. You can drop them in the collection plate. They're, during a time of prayer, you can go to someone around. You can give it to an elder, or you can give it to someone you've seen up here. Just fill it out and use it like you want to. If you're making a contribution for a special purpose, there are envelopes. You can write what's going on or if you need a receipt on that. And, okay, y'all have all figured it out by now, drop it in the collection tray. So other than all of this bookkeeping, why are we here today? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. It's from the King James Version. Yes, I know this verse, and some of the people that I see nodding who are about my age know this verse in King James as well. Most of you here are younger than I am, but there are plenty of y'all who are my age or older. We're blessed in that way. We've got a really good age spread, and we're really very blessed that we have people older than I am here. There are some verses that we learned in memory verses, people my age, about that age and older, when we were in Sunday school, and most of us learned them in King James. And that's the version that sounds right, good, just, it sounds like the real thing to us. And there's some other verses that are like that, and they just don't quite resonate with us in another version. The Lord's Prayer that you'll see up here is like that. When I was asked to do the welcome in the Lord's Prayer, I said, fine, sure, just send me the version you want me to use. And so Brandy did, and that's the version you see up here. But some of us know a different version. You can use that version when we pray out loud together in a moment. You can say the one that you know. I do this often when we have the Lord's Prayer. You do the one that is hallowed to you. This is a pretty serious prayer. In fact, this prayer almost might trip you up, because we ask God to forgive us. How? In the way we've been forgiving other people. That's a little bit scary. Think about it, and let's pray out loud together. Please join me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, we serve a powerful God. When I open up the pages of Scripture, I don't get past the very first page before I'm told that the God that we serve spoke the creation into existence. Everything that exists, exists because our God said so. That's powerful. As I continue on through Scripture, I come to the man Abraham, a man that God promised, I'm going to give you a son in your old age, and I'm going to make of that son a great nation. I continue through the pages of Genesis, and I get to Exodus, and I see, as I trace that promise, that that's exactly what God did. He made of the children of Abraham a great nation, the nation of Israel. And when Israel was enslaved, God sent the man Moses to lead them out of captivity. As they're making their way to the promised land, the land that God promised to give to this great nation, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham, they come by the shores of the Red Sea, and it's there that they realize they've got a problem, because Pharaoh's coming after them to take them back, and he's got his whole army with them. And so behind them, they've got nothing but Pharaoh and his army. In front of them, they've got nothing but the Red Sea. What are they going to do? And the powerful God that we serve reaches down, and he plunges his hands into the waters of the Red Sea, and he separates them. He holds back a wall of water on each side, and his people walk through on dry ground. We serve a powerful God. This powerful God, a little bit later on in Israel's journey, decides that he's going to come down and meet with his people. And he decides to do that at Mount Sinai. And when the creator of the universe came down to earth, the earth took note. There was cloud, there was smoke, there was thunder and lightning. The mountain itself shook. It was so awe-inspiring, so striking, that the people said, "I'm not going anywhere near the mountain. Moses, you go speak with God." It was powerful. When they eventually make it to the promised land and they come up to the border of Canaan, all that stands between them and the promised land is the Jordan River. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant first begin to take their first steps into the water. And God once again reaches down, plunges His hands into those waters, holds back the waters flowing down from the north, lets the waters recede to the south, and a new generation of His people walk across on dry ground. Over and over in the pages of Scripture, we see examples of the power of the God that we serve. Until you come to the New Testament, and you see perhaps the greatest example, the sending of the Messiah, Jesus, the God-man who came down and walked among us with power. The power that emanated from this man as He walked among us with power, as He taught with power and authority, as He healed with power, and even as He died with power. When the creator of the universe died, the earth once again took note. The sun was darkened. The earth shook. The temple veil was torn and the dead walked again. We serve a powerful God. But I find it interesting that as powerful as God is, He doesn't always use that power the way that we would expect. Sometimes He uses that power in very unexpected ways. In the examples that I've given, there is an element of unexpectedness in each one. We can start off with the creation, speaking the world and the universe into existence. If you look at the creation narratives of the cultures that surround Israel when Genesis is written, you see a lot of similarities, but there's a big difference in the creation narrative that other cultures had when it came to why human beings were created. In a lot of those other creation narratives, human beings are created as mere servants to just do the menial tasks that the gods don't want to do, to do the stuff they don't want to bother with. What does Genesis say? The Genesis narrative describes to us a God who speaks the universe into existence, carefully crafts this world, tailors it for the man and the woman that He creates in His own image. And He does all of this, why? So that He can come down into a garden and walk with them. So He can talk with them. So that He can have a relationship with human beings. Why? Why does the creator of the universe want to have a relationship with human beings? That is unexpected. We come to Abraham, and God has said, "I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make a great nation of your people." That's kind of unexpected for Abraham. He's standing there going, God, I don't know if you've noticed. I don't have a son. Abraham and Sarah and I, we can't have children. And God says, "Yeah, you can. Here's Isaac." And He makes a great nation out of Abraham's children, just as He promised. But even there, He doesn't make the great nation in the promised land. He said, "I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to give you this land for them to inhabit." But where does He make a great nation? He makes a great nation way over in Egypt. And oh, by the way, they're enslaved. Well, that's unexpected. So He sends the man Moses to lead them out. And Moses is found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he's raised in Pharaoh's own house like an adopted son. Okay, I see where God's going. He's going to raise Moses up to this powerful position so He can set the Israelites free. Except Moses basically commits murder. He's banished from the kingdom. He spends 40 years out in the wilderness. And when he finally comes back to lead the children of Israel out of captivity, he comes back kicking and screaming, saying, "God, I'm not your guy." Unexpected displays of power. We come to the Red Sea. I don't know if you're familiar with your Middle Eastern geography, but the Red Sea isn't exactly the shortest route from Egypt to the Promised Land. God leads them on the scenic route and basically to a dead end. That's unexpected, but he had a purpose. He comes to Sinai. He says, I'm going to meet with my people, my chosen people, the great nation that I've met. And it's such a powerful display. The people are in awe. And so they're going to stand down there and they're going to say, this is our God. He's right over there. We can see him. We're going to worship him forever. Right? Not so much. So Moses goes up the mountain. Israelites start looking around at each other going, he's been gone for a couple of weeks now. He's probably dead. Let's build golden calves. They're the ones that led us out of Egypt. And yet God, in his power, unexpectedly still says, this is my people. I choose them anyways. He leads them to the Jordan River. Finally, after a generation, it's not that long a walk. But God has led them. God has taught them. God has shown them things in their wandering. And when he finally brings the new generation up to Canaan's land, he brings them on the wrong side of the Jordan River. You can walk from Egypt to Canaan on dry ground. It's not hard. But he brings them up on the wrong side of the Jordan River in the middle of flood season. God had a purpose, as unexpected as his power was. And then probably the most unexpected of all. The Messiah is sent, Emmanuel, God with us, but the Messiah does not come as a conquering king. The Messiah doesn't come as a mighty spiritual being with legions of angels behind him. The Messiah comes as a newborn. The creator of the universe comes down as a newborn baby that would fit in my two hands. That is unexpected. We serve a powerful God who sometimes works in powerfully unexpected ways. I ask you to join me as we sing praises to that God.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor
let thy goodness, like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
You may remember a few weeks ago when Manet spoke to us, we sang this song based on Psalm 121, Unto the Hills I Lift Up My Eyes. And we're going to try it in a moment in the Spanish version that we heard a few weeks ago. The words in English read something like, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. I will lift up my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? Where does my peace come from? Freeing my soul from the grave. So we're going to sing, there's three different slides, but we decided to make things easiest on the guys. Sorry, guys. the guys will sing the first slide that we're all going to sing together. You just sing that same thing three times. Can you do that, gentlemen? And the ladies will be varying a little bit on the second and third slide, but I think we can do it.
Alzaré mis ojos a los montes, alzaré mis ojos a Jehová. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? ¿De dónde vendrá mi la paz? Liberando mi alma del Seol. Alzaré mis ojos a los montes, alzaré mis ojos a Jehová. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? ¿De dónde vendrá mi la paz? Liberando mi alma del Señor. Alzaré mis ojos a los montes, alzaré mis ojos a Jehová. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? ¿De dónde vendrá mi la paz? Liberando mi alma del Señor. Liberando mi alma del Señor.
Our Roots kids will be dismissed at this time for their worship time together. So if you will follow these folks out the door here on this side. Let's go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Morning. So if you've got a blue card or a gold card or a special envelope or a prayer request, you can put that into the collection plate as it comes and your contribution as it comes. Father, thank you for loving us and for doing so much to bring us back to you. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for letting us help you in this work. Bless our offering today and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Today I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen.
The greatest example of our powerful God working in unexpected ways can be seen in the unexpected work that God accomplished at the cross. See, no one expected the Messiah to be born as a newborn. No one expected the Messiah to be born to an unwed mother. No one expected the Messiah to be raised in the backwoods of Nazareth by a carpenter. No one expected that when the Messiah finally got around to teaching, he was going to teach against the leaders of Israel, his own country. No one expected the Messiah to make his best friends women and fishermen and tax collectors and extremist nationalists, possibly terrorists, people like zealots. Nobody expected the rumors of the Messiah to be, "Well, I heard he was a drunkard. I heard he was a glutton. Did you hear?" No one expected the Messiah to go out and eat with tax collectors and prostitutes and every kind of sinner right out in front of everybody. But no one expected the Messiah to die. Can you imagine being there? Here's the man that you have followed for 3 years. You dropped everything. You left your entire lifestyle and have followed him for 3 years through all of the unexpectedness. And despite all of the things that weren't what you expected them to be about the Messiah, you still had the faith to say, "I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." But there he is on a cross. And there's nothing you can do about it. You watch him breathe his last. And yes, the earth reacts. The sun is darkened. The earth shakes. But he's still gone. Can you imagine waking up that next morning without Jesus? Where do you go? What do? Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a little bit about the presence of Jesus at the cross in one of his sermons. And I want to read that to you. He says, Christ is not carried away gloriously from earth to heaven, but must go to the cross. And exactly there where the cross stands, the resurrection is near. Exactly there where everyone begins to doubt God, where everyone falls into despair about God's power, there God is fully. There Christ is alive and near. God was present throughout the crucifixion. He was still in control. I'm sure Satan thought he was in control. I'm sure Satan thought that he had won. That Friday evening, I'm sure hell had the greatest celebration they'd ever seen. We've won. We've finally done it. After generations and millennia of dreading the coming of the Messiah, God chooses to send him as a babe. I tried to get Herod to kill him, but that didn't work. I tried to tempt him. That didn't work. But now I've finally succeeded. I got one of his own 12 to betray him. I got his own people to execute him. We've won. And I'm sure they celebrated on Friday, and I'm sure they celebrated on Saturday. But come Sunday morning, Satan found out that we serve a God who is all-powerful and ever-present. God was present throughout the crucifixion. If we look back at the cross from this side of Easter, we can see God's presence everywhere. God is present in the darkened sun. God is present in the torn veil. He's present in the shaken earth and the dead that walked. God is present at the cross in the centurion who proclaimed from the very foot of the cross, surely he was the Son of God. God is present in the cross itself, made of wood from a tree that he spoke into existence. God is present in the crucified Son who looks down from the cross with love and concern for his mother and makes sure that she is taken care of. Who looks from the cross with love and concern for the thief hanging next to him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. God is present in the crucified Son who looks down from the cross with love and concern for his executioners. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're still mine. God was quietly and gently present on Friday evening when friends carefully laid Jesus' body in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. And God was blazingly and triumphantly present on Sunday morning when Jesus stood up and walked out of that tomb. The presence of God, my friends, makes all the difference. It's what makes this morning a celebration. This isn't a funeral. This isn't a memorial service. It's not a visitation. It's not any kind of sad event. This morning, we celebrate. We celebrate because God was present. He didn't turn his back on us. He didn't leave us. When the path that he walked led through the darkened streets of Jerusalem out to midnight prayers in Gethsemane, when the path that he walked led into the halls of Pilate and the Sanhedrin, when the path that he walked led straight up Calvary's hill, he didn't shy away. He was present. And because he was present at the cross, and because he was present outside the empty tomb, we can know that he is present today. He is alive. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Peter, James, and John. He is the God of Mary, Martha, and Joanna. And he is the God of Southwest Central. He's the God of Josh and Steve and Lucy and Chelsea. He's the God of Brandy, of King, of Joe, of Nelson. He is the God, right now, he is the God of Bernadine and Glenn and Martha and Lupe. That God, our God, lives. Praise God, he lives. Will you stand and join me in celebrating that fact?
Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, King of authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus, magnify, come glorify the King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
We Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing.
With my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. You are holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of our praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord. Praise, you are holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. Great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. You are holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord.
Please be seated.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure.
How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. His
This I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Friends, we serve a God who is powerful. We serve a God who is present. And we serve a God who is enough. Jesus' perfect life and sinless sacrifice means that He was enough. Let me tell you what I used to think that meant. I used to think that that meant, okay, Jesus is perfect, He was sinless, His sacrifice is enough. So now all that's left to do is for Josh to be good enough to take advantage of that. Because after all, a faithful Christian is going to live like this, do these things, check these boxes, and believe all the right arguments on these points of doctrine. I believed that for a long time. I finally began to realize that when I said that, or even if I didn't say it out loud, when I lived that way and I really believed that deep down, what that meant was that I didn't believe Jesus was enough. But the fact that I serve a risen Savior who is powerful and is present and is enough means that I can lay down the burden of having to become good enough or having to do enough, having to know enough, having to believe enough. I can lay that burden down. That is an impossibly heavy burden to bear. I know, I tried. But we do serve a Savior who is enough. I used to think that my salvation was going to take Jesus being enough plus Josh becoming enough. But that's not how it is. What no one ever told me was this. I am enough. I am enough because Jesus is enough. You are enough. No matter who you are or what you have done, you are enough. No matter where you are on your faith walk, whether you are ecstatic belief, I can't wait to go to church every time, or you are, I'm done with God, I can't take it anymore, you are still enough to be His. It doesn't matter how much you struggle. It doesn't matter if you question or doubt or if you're angry at God. It doesn't matter if you're so full of faith, you've got enough to share. And you still don't quite feel like you're good enough. I want you to hear this morning that you are enough because Jesus is enough. God has always chosen unexpected people to be His. Have you listened to the examples we've looked at this morning? He took questioning, doubting Abraham. He took the rebellious, stubborn children of Israel. He took His own executioners. Can you put the next slide up here? We've had these coloring sheets out and about. There's one in the back. And we had a whole series of them last week. And this is the one that when Steve showed it really jumped out at me. Here is a fist pointing the finger at Jesus, saying, what else do we need to convict this man? What else do we need to crucify the Son of God, the Creator of the universe? And this hand that by all rights should be depicted as covered in blood has been depicted by our good children as covered in hearts. I think that's exactly how God sees it. They don't know what they're doing, but they're still mine. God is powerful in the most unexpected of ways. He is present in the darkest of places, and He is enough so that you can be His no matter where you are in your journey. You belong. You are loved. You are enough. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the high priest that we have, Jesus, is not a high priest that's so far out there and out of touch, out of reach, that we can't understand Him and He doesn't know what we're going through. No, we have a high priest who left heaven, gave that up to come and live exactly as we do, to be born as a helpless babe, to grow up, to learn to live and laugh and love and weep just like we do. He knows what it's like to be human. And He does not ask or expect us to be anything more than human. He simply asks that in the midst of our humanity, we follow Him. We serve a God who is powerful. We serve a God who is present, and we serve a God who is enough. Praise God. One of the powerfully unexpected things that God does to be in presence with us, He says He was going to share a meal with us. We've got two tables up here. We're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to share a meal together as family, because each person in here is enough to gather around God's table. As we come up to these tables, I want us to think about the unexpectedness of this meal. The fact that all of these people from different walks of life and background come together as family, as people who are enough, as people who have been chosen by the Creator of the universe. And we share a meal not just with each other, but we share that meal with the Creator. Amen. That is powerful and unexpected. Think about the unexpected simplicity of a meal that we share with the Creator of the universe. Nothing fancy. It's simple bread and simple cup. As He steps down and dines with us. I'm going to ask for a couple of volunteers, if I could get two for this table and two for this table, to help pass out the bread and the cup to welcome people as they come to the table. If you'd like to be one of those volunteers, could you go ahead and come up? If you would like the bread to be brought to you, the bread and the cup to be brought to you at your seat, you can raise your hand once the people are up and walking around. If I could get a couple of other volunteers to take some of the extra that we have back here in the center table behind me, that would be great. Before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You so much and we celebrate Your power. The power that You have shown in unexpected ways, doing the amazing things that You have for us and in our lives. Father, we celebrate Your presence throughout the cross, throughout the period of time in the tomb, and most especially, Father, there at the resurrection. Father, we celebrate Your presence here today, here in this room, among us, in each one of us. We celebrate Your presence here at the table as You dine with us. Father, we celebrate the sacrifice that You made, the life that You lived, that is enough. Enough that we can be Yours, no matter who we are or where we are. Father, we celebrate this. We thank You, we praise You, and we love You. Amen. Let's share a meal. Come on, guys.
Come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken, so humbled and broken. We do all in remembrance of you. The bread has been broken, and all those who know him believe without touching the scar. His death reconciled us. We live sanctified to become what we already are. To him who loves us and freed us to love, be glory and honor and praise. The bread has been broken. Our eyes have been opened. Oh, come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken, so humbled and broken. We do all in remembrance of you. The bread has been broken.
Bread has been broken.
Our eyes have been opened.
Eyes have been opened.
Oh, come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken.
Word has been spoken.
So humbled and broken.
Humbled and broken.
We do all in remembrance of you. The bread has been broken. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, you bowed to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you reign, forever let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are
salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. And unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever.
the redeemed shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever, be to our God forever and ever, be to our God forever and ever.
Wow. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We wonder at your power. We celebrate the gift you gave us in your Son and his death. And we glorify your plan to redeem us and bring us back to you forever. Fill us with joy that this gift and plan deserve. Give us confidence in knowing that we are yours and that you will never leave us. Bless us, Father, for we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, and now for some announcements before we close. So we have several Easter lilies up here this morning. These were donated either in honor or in memory of people that we all love. If you or a family member has been listed in the bulletin this morning, please feel free to take one of these lilies home. Remaining lilies, feel free to take one to a neighbor or a friend or a person who was not able to make it this morning. So after service ends today, next door we're doing the children's Easter activities. There are no children's classes except for the toddlers. They're welcome in the nursery. And then they'll be following our Easter activity, there will be an Easter egg hunt. So parents, please accompany your children, grandparents, next door so we can start our Easter activities. We are taking pictures for directory photo updates out in the foyer. This will happen after service today and next week. Before and after service. Sunday evening service will be at 6 p.m. today in the fellowship hall. And Cafe Grace will be happening this Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Children's and teens classes are at 6:30 p.m. and adult class is at 7 p.m. Thursday morning Bible class is at 10:30 a.m. this Thursday morning. And then I have a special event to announce. On April 30th, 6 to 8 p.m., we are going to have a coffee house and talent show. I'm organizing this on behalf of the Mexico mission trip, and donations to the mission trip are encouraged. All talent is welcome, and I say this as all talent because even if you don't consider it a talent, that's usually the most entertaining. I have sign-up sheets, both for helping with setup and breakdown. I need a set list manager. Jerry Watson is emceeing. People to bring food, all kinds of things to sign up for, and also a set list. And if you're worried about signing up, and just want to come talk to me, that's okay too. I will persuade you. All right, adult classes today. In room 101, we have the letter of James. In the library, we have survey of the Bible. In the auditorium, we have Hebrews. In room 221 upstairs, we have eyewitnesses to Jesus. And worship and ASL will be helping with the children's classes today. So we are not meeting. Thank you very much.
We're going to do a sending out with this song, In Christ Alone. While they're coming up and getting ready, I just want to give you a little bit, one last message here. Let's stand as we prepare for this song. The beautiful thing about resurrection is that it's not some nebulous, far-off idea in a distant future that we don't really understand what's going to happen. Resurrection is a powerful reality that is happening right now. I want you guys to know that. When we put on Christ, the old man of sin, the one that belonged to sin, dies. And there is a new person that is resurrected that belongs to God. You are resurrected by God. You have been resurrected by God. By the powerful, present God who is enough. By the God who bends down and says to us, I have created you. I have resurrected you. You are mine. You are enough. As resurrected beings, let's all sing together with the resurrected saints of all ages, the praises of our risen King, the Christ, the only place that our hope is found.
In Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song. This cornerstone, this common ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. Our Comforter, our all in all, here in the love of Christ we stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ we live. There in the crown his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands for victory, sin's curse is gone and we are free. For he is ours, and we are Christ, bought with a precious sacrifice. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Once we were blind, but now we see. From common ground to journey's end, Jesus commands our destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck us from his hand. Till he returns or calls us home, here in the power of Christ we'll stand. Till he returns or calls us home, here in the power of